Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord, our God, He has spoken. Give ear, O nations of the earth, for the Lord our God, He is speaking. This is the day that God has made. He made it so good and so great so we could say, look and see what God has done. See what God is doing today. Say, good God. Good God. Come on, say it. Good God. Good God. God is penetrating every idea, passing right through any analogies, any thoughts, any premonitions, any false prophecies, any lying spirits of divination that say you can't do, that say you can't go, that you can't be, that you stop here and now. He's taking you on, He's taking you through to a day you've never known. He is. Amen. He's taking you on, He's taking you through to a day you've never seen. Yes, He is. Amen. Something so profoundly incredible is present today. God wants you to know how great, how good, how gracious, how glorious, how wonderful He is with you. So, I pray that out of His gracious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Say, holy people. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love in its surpassing knowledge. To know this love of God that surpasses knowledge. Think about that. What did He just say? I want you to know something you can't know. That's what He just said. Something that surpasses your ability to comprehend. Isn't that the God of all gods? The one and only. The one and only Christ, Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. Hear, O heavens, we pull today because you've given us power. It's your will that we make a presentation of your kingdom, your Spirit, and your power. That you may know, that you may know the love that surpasses knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding. That you may, or so you can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then this is what happens. That He may do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is now working in you. To Him be glory in the body, the church, and in Christ Jesus. Say, in this generation. Yes. And amen. Listen to God's call. And God's call is here today because something so profoundly incredible is urging you to step beyond every conscious barrier in your mind. So a revelation, not a dictatorship, not a memory of past I can'ts, it didn't, or it failed, or why didn't it, but into an immeasurable ability to grasp the fullness of who God is in this earth, these vessels here, now, today. You can take a seat, but stay right here. Last week we celebrated as nations, stay right where we are, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that the Son of God descended into the earth. And then we know that He walked the fields of our ground. He drank the water that we drink. He inhaled the air that we breathe. He exhaled the same air that you breathe. He tread the same soil that you walk on today. And then He took the sphere of the earth, and the Word records that He went into the heart of the earth. And the Scriptures say that He preached, He declared Himself, and the freedom and the power that He had grasped and was handing over to us. Heaven had never known the descending Lord until He descended into the heart, into the earth. Had never known Him as the descending Lord into the heart of the earth. Had never known Him in any fashion in which He was presented other than the word of prophecy. Because heaven had a chance to believe God in a way heaven had never believed God before. They too had heard the prophecies. And they too had to believe. You know what's happening at this moment in time? Heaven and earth are coming into a unity. And then for the very, very first time, the Lord of all ascended from the heart of the earth. And then ascended from the earth itself. And when He did that, so did our spirit of prophecy as well. Your spirit of prophecy ascended with Him. Which means we are seated with Him in heavenly places. How many times have you heard that? But that we may understand what all this means. That's what time it is. It is a time of a uniting of a body that has been chosen before the generations were generations. A time where the heart of God spoke about a time where the Spirit of the living God prophesied a generation, a season, just like the earth would come into a season that had never taken place before until God created the earth and caused everything that sprang out of it, all the herbs and the plants and the trees and the grass, until He caused all of that to spring out. It hadn't been known before. But it was still in the heart of God, you see. Still in the heart of God. It was all still there. All of the fullness of God is in Him. All that fullness. And because God is perfect in all of His ways, and to know the depth of His love is His heartbeat for you and I today. That goes way beyond an emotional feeling of how much you're just loved. It goes so far beyond. The Word says, I want to show you a love that surpasses your comprehensive ability to understand, because this love isn't just a warm, cuddly embrace. This love is the very spirit, the very nature, the very power, the very fullness of God Himself. Because the real story here is what's taking place. If there is a waiting, as the Word says, He's waiting. If there is a waiting in any way that we can comprehend, it's what Jesus said. It's what the Word of God declares. I'm waiting for my sons and my daughters to come into the fullness of the knowledge of who I am. Now, we understand what it is to be forgiven. We understand what it is to be redeemed. We understand what it is to be loved in the sense that He didn't let us die in our sins and backwardness. But after all this, the Word says that we may come into the knowledge of a love that surpasses knowledge. That we would know Him in a way He has never been known before. That's this catching up that you're waiting for, if you didn't know. That's this uniting of heaven and earth that's taking place even now. There was a man by the name of David, and there was a man by the name of Solomon who was David's son. And God had spoken to David. And David had it in his heart to build the temple of the Lord, a temple which had never been built before, never been erected in the earth. It just hadn't happened. Not like this. And this was in the heart of David, like it's in the heart of God today and beyond, to bring out all, what is in the heart of God? To bring out all that is in the heart of God and to reveal it to you in a way to where you say, I understand. In a way I can't explain. I understand in a way that I've never fathomed in the deepest recesses. My cognitive ability is incapable of grasping this, and yet that's my call. And Paul knew it, so he prayed for us. And he prayed, I pray continually for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better. So you can know Him in a way you've never known Him before. In such a comprehensive way, there's no way to dial in your thoughts and make sense of what is being said. So that prophetic call of knowing Him in this way is God reaching into you and drawing out of you, just like we pull on heaven, the kingdom of God that is within you. As much as we take this rope and we pull on heaven, what we're really doing is we're really pulling on the depth of the love of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is that power of revelation. So when we hear a word, this is a reason for hearing the word like you're hearing it today. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful. And it has the ability that no cutting apparatus, no double-edged sword, which was the sharpest thing they would have understood that in that day, sharper than anything that you know that can divide. And what it does is the Word of God that I've spoken to you and that I'm speaking to you now. When prophecy comes, it's so far beyond what you're able to comprehend in your mind, what you're able to wrap your mind around and go, oh, I know what that means. It comes through the depth of something that God does on the inside, and this is the marker of a time that God has called us to today. This is the marker of where you are, and if you understand it, something beyond the ability to comprehend will take a hold of you and cause you to be a witness of the power of God. So David and his son, he has it in his heart to build a temple. God said, you've been fighting too long. You've been battling one thing and another. You've waged wars. You've won a lot of battles. But there's something beyond this. You've spent too much time. You've shed too much blood. There's something beyond this to gain a victory, to be a revolution. And he said, to you, a son is going to be born, and he's going to be called a man of rest, and I'm going to give him rest on every side, and he'll have neither adversary nor evil occurrent. I mean, it may be all around, but it won't really be around. Not the policies, not the politics, not the economy, not any of those things that can get you down, can make you feel lesser than who you really genuinely are. And it's this knowledge. So one day Solomon is born. One day prophesies to his son and says, this is what God said. Hearing the word. hearing the word, and holding that word. And knowing that when you hear the word, it's going to do something. It's going to begin to divide you in a way that you can't comprehend. It will go beyond the counsel of natural reasoning. But it's paramount to the body coming into its fullness that we begin to understand. The word says, till we come into the knowledge of the fullness of God. Till this time where the body of Christ is raised up in such a way that we begin to apprehend, we begin to comprehend in ways that we can't really think our way into. That we can't say, I understand this and I understand that and this makes sense and I get it now in a different way. And that's what God is doing. I'm telling you, prophetically, that's what the body is about today. Not just getting over our problems, although God will get you over your problems, over your hurdles. Not just making it through, although God will bring you through. Not just getting in and out of the fire, although God will get you in and out of the fire. Not just getting healed, although God will heal you. Not just raising the dead, although God raises the dead. Not just saving you, although God saves you. Not just giving you joy, although God gives you joy. But beyond the comprehensive reasoning, our ability to look at something and say that makes sense, God's taking you there. This is that time. God knows you believe Him. God knows there's someone in this house, there's someone viewing that will believe God in a way that you cannot make sense or reasoning of. And not doing it and then waiting, but doing something that David couldn't do, that God said Solomon's going to do. And why was Solomon able to do what he did? The scripture says, Jesus said to us, he said, don't look for the kingdom beyond who you are and where you are. He told us to do that, so that's what we should do and we should not do. We shouldn't look for it beyond any place that we are, because your faith has to be reckoned by the word of God. Your understanding, your power to comprehend has to be within the wealth of who Christ is, without trying to figure out how this greatness of God fits inside of you. The glory of God is bigger than your space. And he made that clear, but he said, but I'm God. And not only am I Almighty God, but I have a love that supersedes your ability to comprehend this love. But I'm going to show you. I'm going to reveal it to you. Solomon stands as a figure, as a representative and a witness to how God does what he does. And this is back in the Old Testament. Read about him in the book of Kings. And so one day, Solomon stands up and he says, God's given me rest on every hand. I have no adversary. I have no evil occurring. I'm not saying it isn't out there, but somehow there's a recognition, there's a covering, there's time. He says, I'm going to build a temple, I'm going to build a house of God. And God had supplied for him as God has supplied for you. And the word says that God came to Solomon in a dream and he said, what would you have me give you? God's asking you the same thing. What would you have me give you? And Solomon said, Lord, there's such a great people, they're beyond number, such a vast multitude of your people in the earth, I couldn't fathom how, and I'm young, I don't even have the experience of a middle-aged man, let alone the experience of a king. God will put you in a position, you're the one God will choose when he positions you in such a way that it is so beyond your capacity, your mind, your knowledge, your reasoning. And that is the point that so many people turn and run away. And Solomon, God said to Solomon, what would I give you? Solomon said, give me a reasoning heart. Give me a discerning heart. So I know how to lead your people. Your people. Check out the vision first. These are your people. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in. Your people. Now, he didn't say at this time there's a lot of rotten people out there. There's a lot of bad images. There's a lot of wrong ideas. There's a lot of contradictive terms. There's a lot of battling and warring and hatred. And he said, give me a discerning heart. Hear the word of the Lord today if you want to go where you've never been, where God has called you to be. He spoke in no contradictive terms to the will of God. His conclusion wasn't based on what seemed impossible, but simply, God, give me a discerning heart. He could have said, God, send me a whole lot of people. Just give me favor with other kings and other wise men. Give me favor. Just bring a bunch of people around to make me look smart. I'm a young guy. But what he said was, God, give me a discerning heart to lead so great a people. I'm going to say prophetically to you, the word of the Lord and the word of your future is in this word. And I boldly come to you in the fullness of the measure of the fullness and the blessing of Christ. I really have no position to come to you in any other way that is justified or faithful or right. Because it's no longer I, the word says, but Christ that lives in me. So we should expound on that idea. We should expound on a measure of the image of the fullness of God that goes beyond our limited intellect, our compromising thesis and ideas of this works and that works and this doesn't and this is too much. And when do we cut and run and just say, God is for me. Nothing can be any otherwise but for me. So Solomon says, give me a discerning heart, and this is important. And the word says, it pleased the Lord. And he told him, he said, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the defeat of your enemies. So there must have been enemies around. But he didn't ask for any of that. He asked for a discerning, give me a discerning heart. Give me a discerning heart that I can lead so numerous a people. And it pleased God. It pleased God because, number one, he didn't ask for something beyond who God had anointed and called him to be. He asked for God to be revealed in who he was. That's where the kingdom of God is. Jesus said it. He said, here's a mystery. Here's a wonder. Here's a treasure. This kingdom that you're looking to go into someday when you die, and you go there, absolutely. When you transfer from this life to the next life, and you go there, absolutely. But there's something God wants out of the heart of the earth. That's why he went there. There's something that the Lord desires with his people. Through your tumultuous times, your challenging formats and conflicting counsel and all the things in the world that sometimes just seems like, oh my goodness, if I could just find a quiet space and just be still, maybe I could know God there. But God is in the midst of the storm. Jesus proved that. God is in the place that you stand right now, and there's something about you that is so unique. And that something about you is your willingness to hear God's voice and to walk in its wonder. If you believe God for wonders, if you will believe, I mean, committed to believe God for wonders, you'll see wonders. If you'll just commit yourself, this is my commitment, to see the wonders of God. Not to see God wrangle everything in according to my desires, because understand that to satisfy you, God can't satisfy you. Because he created you in such a spectrum of prophecy and love that you cannot within yourself comprehend who you really are by His plan, His purpose, His design, and His love. But you can know it. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a minute. If you will, the simplicity of your design is too small to contain how great He is, and yet He's putting it in you without blowing you up. So the word says it pleased God what Solomon had prayed, because Solomon asked God to do a work in him, and foregoing anything that he could have asked for that would have logically made sense in a real world, that would give him the wherewithal to lead the people, send me wise men from afar, raise up prophets. And he didn't say any of that. Just give me a discerning heart. The kingdom of God in you is more than enough. But we don't see it so often because we look beyond the boundaries of the kingdom, and there are no boundaries beyond the kingdom. That limited ability that you have, that barrier that you have, doesn't really exist in the kingdom of God. That's why we have the power to pull on heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. Such a revelation. Someday you'll get it. Today is the someday. So the word says it pleased God that Solomon asked for a discerning heart, because the kingdom of God is in you. But how is the kingdom of God in you? How is it in you? How is it in you? How would you know it? Through the prayer that Solomon prayed. Reasoning. Give me the ability to reason by your spirit. Your unfathomable understanding to who you are. When the spirit, the word says, searches, it searches the depth of the heart of God. And he searches the depth, I mean, how deep is that? Of the heart of God for this purpose, to reveal it. Not really to you, because he can't really reveal it to you. It's not like a picture, like God can say, look at this and see. He said, if they saw me, they wouldn't know me anyway, because it's already happened. But that through the awareness, through the reasoning of your heart, the kingdom of God is revealed. Through the reasoning, the power within David wasn't that he reasoned how many people were against him, or that his brothers were angry, or that Saul's armor didn't fit him, or that he had been a man of warfare with swords or ever led a platoon. But how could you possibly defy the armies of God? It's impossible that you would do that. Are you all out of your mind? You're not defying a king who is in the tent and afraid. You're defying the army of God, and I know you can't do that. One individual that says, I know this victory belongs to me. I know the nations of favor belong to me. I know whatever it is God has put in your heart that is beyond your ability, your measure. Favor in the nations. A cultivating, a gathering, an upspringing, like in the day of the Garden of Eden, of plants and trees and fruits and things that the world had never known. That is on the inside of you. So God has to lead you to a place to where it is beyond the measure and the capacity within you to reason it out. Because if God always does it within the framework of what is reasonable, no matter how extreme it is, then we never have the mind of God. We don't know the kingdom of God, because this world has its limitations. It has its barriers. But the kingdom of God is beyond that. And that's what he said he wants on the inside of us, is a kingdom that is beyond measure. So as we're sitting here today, as we stand, as we're listening, as you're sitting there listening, I'm sitting here as an orator. God is saying, the truth is, you're seated in a place beyond your ability to orchestrate the things that are going to take place. But if you will believe me there, I'll do wonders. God says this to Solomon. He says, I'm going to give you what you asked for because that's my heart. I'm going to give you my heart. And he says, but, this is powerful, he says, I have given you everything you did not ask for. Not I'm going to, not it's on the way down the road. I have given you everything, saith the word of the living God, that would bear witness that I'm with you to everyone else around you. I have given it to you. I have, not it's coming, not it's going to be. God is saying to you, I have given it to you. It surrounds you. It's all around you. It's all within you. The ability of a reasoning mind by the Spirit of the Lord to reason like God. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. In surrendering to the will of God, he became God in the flesh. Think about that. It doesn't diminish. It takes away all the compromise, the barriers that you just can't get through. And today is that day. Beyond conscious recognition, the things that you're preparing to have to do in order to make it through, you won't even have to do. If you will believe for the wonders of God. So Solomon received, God blessed him, as we know, with riches and honor and favor, and he built the temple of the living God, and he walked in the obedience of his word. And God said, and if you keep my word, I'll give you long life, because the life of your body is in the word of God. How deep can you believe? And that power comes through our ability to reason beyond what is natural sense. Now, the world will contend with you just as they contended with Christ in saying, how can you forgive sins? And Jesus said this. He said, why are you reasoning like a man about me? Why do you reason in your hearts? He says that it is it easier to say you're, because they brought him a man that was sick, he was crippled. And he said, is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven to this man, which I've just said, which has disturbed you? I know how to convince you, but it won't convince you no matter what I do, because your ability to believe is within the framework of your ability to comprehend with your own minds, and I am beyond that, and I'll be beyond that in you if you'll believe me. He said, or is it easier to say, take up your bed, not just get up, but get up when you had to be carried here, and then carry out what carried you in. And that's what he did. He picked it up, he got up, he picked up his bed, and he took it home. God's telling you to pack up every sense of reasoning that makes sense in the sense that it contradicts the word of God. And we don't like to believe that it does, but if it doesn't show you the wonder of God to be done in you, then it's contradicting the word of God, because God is a wonder in you. God said that the fullness of who he is was going to be manifest through his body. It's the only way heaven will know that fullness is when God manifests it through you, because that's who you are. You are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You are the chosen of God. The word says you're not your own. You didn't make yourself. You didn't create yourself. You didn't call yourself into existence. Sometimes all I have to do to just be driven to great praise and worship is to just realize I'm here. How am I here? Who am I? Have you ever wondered who you are? I remember people used to say, who am I? And as a kid, that used to drive me crazy. What do you mean, who are you? You don't know who you are? Are you out of your mind? And the more of a relationship that I embraced in Christ, the more that made sense to me. Who am I? I think I'm a wonder. Who are you? I think you're a wonder. I think you're a mystery. There's a treasure. There's a secret. And God concealed all the wonders of what he is going to do through you when you believe him to do it. He's concealed them on the inside of you. He's put them in a secret place. And that secret place is within you. And the power of the revelation of the kingdom comes through reasoning beyond reason. God said it. I'm walking into it. Everything else is falling away, but I'm walking into a time that is beyond my comprehension because I am born of the kingdom of God. I cannot stop what God has started. I can't turn around and go back. I can't say, I'm going to do better. Can I tell you, I'm never going to do any better than I'm doing right now. This is the best I know to do. But I'll do better. Not of might nor of power, but of His Spirit. You will constantly see better and better. And whether it's better or not, we don't know, but it's so new and fresh every single day. It just seems like this is greater, this is better, this is more, I'm wiser, I'm stronger. And what is happening is your mind has gone beyond the expanse of your cognitive ability to comprehend what life and faith and power is all about until the kingdom of God is manifest through you in such a way it just doesn't make sense, but it bears witness and it draws people of favor and honor to come and associate with your faith. See, we're waiting for people to come and associate with us as we think and as we want. But what God is doing today, say today, this is the day. It has to be organized within this day. This is the day. Today? Is He's making people fear your faith like you fear God. An honor to your faith. But God has to drive you beyond recognition of your capacity or capability, beyond your limitations. So then you really know, as God said to Moses, I'm doing what I'm doing so these people really know that it's me. Moses did a few signs. He threw a serpent down. The magicians threw a serpent down. He did one thing. He did another. He did blah. And the magicians kept copying. You walk into a time where you'll do as good as the best can do. And then something happens. You begin to part ways with the best you can do. Because God wants you to know, just as He told Moses, I want them to know, I want Pharaoh to know that I am the God of all the earth and there is none like me. See, the wonders in Egypt were as much, if not mostly, for Moses as it was anyone else. Because when God called Moses, He said, I'm going into the land of Egypt and I'm going to be the word in your mouth. And Moses said, no, I can't. I have no eloquent speech. I'm slow of speech. I won't be able to get it. By the time I do, He's going to get up and leave before it comes out. And God said, I'll be with you. I know that about you, Moses. Don't you know I know that about you? That's why I'm sending you. When I go beyond you, it's no longer I that lives, but it's me. That's what it's about. You don't know who you are until you know who He is in you. You may know who you are in Him, but you have to know who He in you is. So God told Moses what to do, and Moses said, I can't go, send somebody else. Why would you choose me? See how you think. We say we believe, but then we doubt because we're not believing Him. We're believing us at our best. Who you can make me at my very best, and that's not who you're called to be. Stop trying to be better and know Him better. If you'll know Him better, you'll know yourself better than you've ever known. So God says, go down, I'll be with you, I'll send you Aaron. It's not pleasing to me. We're going to slow things down a little bit. We're going to do it anyway. So Moses go down, and what God was really saying, I'm going to prove to you that I can work through you. Matter of fact, what's the least of all that you have? That stick in your hand. That's the least of all that you have is a stick. Throw it down. He threw it down, turned into a snake. And God said, it won't turn back in. to what it was, ever. When you reach out and take it, it's going to turn into something that's never been before. Moses jumps back when it turns into a snake, and God said, I want you to take it by the tail. God's telling you to take it by the tail, put your hand to it. And the moment that he did, God said, now this is the staff of God. It's no longer the rod of a shepherd. Because I have done it through you, Moses. Come on, couldn't have God went in and just did and eradicated the evil and just took the people out? No, because that's not the plan of the Father. The plan of the Father is to reveal the kingdom, and the kingdom cannot be made presentable to the Father until it comes from the Father through you by faith in Christ. And then the will of God through you is the will of God. How can it be the will of God unless it is produced, unless it is manifest? His will. But to see his will manifest, it has to come through the greatness of who he has called you to be. What is man? You're mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you visit him. Crown him with glory, make it a little lower than the angels. Crown him with all glory. What is he? He's a wonder of God. He's the will of the Father. Created, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Raised by the glory of the Spirit of the Father. Just like Jesus was on the third day. You are a power to be reckoned with when you believe in the full. So God performs all types of signs and wonders, and he does it through the one he really wants to begin to reason like God, Moses. God keeps hardening Pharaoh's heart. Can't really be all that much about Pharaoh. It's about the leader God has chosen. And you see Moses begin to graduate in his thinking, begin to elevate his understanding, and then you see a boldness come out of him. And he goes in and he begins to command Pharaoh by the word of the Lord. And God continues to harden Pharaoh's heart. And Moses continues to see the wonders of God performed through him. Until God establishes Moses in a way that he can go into a place and see the wonders of God that have never been seen before. That's what God is doing with you. And can I tell you, it's not hard. It's the easiest life you'll ever live when it's no longer you that's living, but all your faith, all your intuitive ability, all your prophetic insight, all your strength, all your intelligence goes into the hand of God, and you say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit in me. Give me your reasoning. Give me your reasoning. And the Lord will speak his word, and the word comes into your ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It enters into an ear that can't comprehend, and then something happens that God deemed perfect and purpose-filled in the beginning. He's giving you dominion. The word enters your ear. Your mind says, how can this be? Your spirit says, that's mine. Your spirit reaches out and takes dominion over your mind, and now you're living by the Spirit of God within you. And God begins to work through your life. And he begins to elevate you. It isn't God waiting. It isn't some time. It's God saying, when will you believe in the fullness? And God has to bring you to a point to where you know that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. And at that point in time, favor is going to come to you from places you would never have imagined. Doors open that God put in your heart years ago. People's hearts and minds turning to the will of the God. Your family coming together. God uniting. God blessing. God healing you. God raising you up to where you turn around one day and you say, I am not who I was. As a matter of fact, I don't know who I was. I only know who he is, and that has become my identity by reasoning. The power of the kingdom of God is manifest by the Spirit of God's reasoning. Everything that comes into your life, everything that comes into a believer's life, all things work together for good. Everything is to give you good, righteous reasoning. And if you would say, God's given me reasoning, God's given me the spirit of understanding, God's opening, not just God's doing something, no, God's done so much. God, like Solomon, God is giving me a discerning heart and a discerning mind, and by the Spirit, everything that I didn't even ask for, all the blessing and the favor of God is going to surround me and overwhelm me and overcome me, and I'm going to walk in the goodness and the glory of God in a way that I've never imagined could be possible, in a way that I have never surmised in my mind, the recesses, the organization of the files of my mind and of my memory have been overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. I've broken through something. Chuck Yeager, 1949, brings a reasoning into light when he broke the sound barrier, which was no barrier at all. Here was the barrier. The barrier was understanding. The barrier was reasoning. We can be so much more in a day's time as the body of Christ, and we've ever known ourselves to be so much more influential, so much more powerful, if we stop the divided nonsense of our minds. And without an expectation of what we want God to do, just expect God to be who He is in you. And the word of the Lord will come, and God will tell you of things, wondrous things. That's what He said. I have so many things to say to you, wondrous things, glorious things that would exceed your imagination. And all you have to do is believe in that. And that's the kingdom of God, and it will make itself known, and it will come to pass. It will make its presentation. Heaven and earth will come into unity, and God will be revealed in that. And all in all, it's not by, you can walk in places that are fearful to you, places that, and you'll find yourself in those times where you're just like, I'm not sure where to go from here. And God will say, believe in a wonder. Moses, raise your staff over the sea. This is where the time parts. This is where the new season begins. You're going, as it's been preached, to the other side. Chuck Yeager, 1949. Just believed that he could do something that he had never done before, something that he had failed at before, because it was thought that to reach the speed of sound was impossible. It was a barrier that could not be broken. It was something that you couldn't pass. But he and those that believed, like kind of like a body, made an assault on a barrier called the sound barrier. And the assault became reality when they realized there really is no barrier at all. We have to know how to approach this barrier in such a way that we exceed our limitations. And the way they did it was by an understanding, number one, that it was possible to do it. And they based that on a 50 caliber bullet. It could go faster than the speed of sound. It did it. So that world exists. Christ is your 50 caliber bullet. He broke the barrier of conscious reasoning. He broke the barrier of memory. Your memory can't condemn you. That's a miracle. He broke the barrier of your consciousness of sin, of your inability to please God. And he said, because it's not you, I'm living through you. I am a demonstration of my Father. And that's in you. Today, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, however you feel you've failed, you didn't fail. You just haven't exceeded the barrier yet. Let's do it together. Someone's going to do it. A body of Christ is raising up, and they're raising up today. One man stood and said, "You're falling," and he fell. One man said, "We're going into the den." He went into the den. He came out God glorified. One man said, "I'm going to hold on to God. I reason that I can hold on to the blessing of the Lord, and it can't get away until when it leaves, it stays with me. Jesus, I'm going, but I'm leaving. I'm sending you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you where you're supposed to go. He's going to take you somewhere that is beyond your comprehension. Do you understand that's what God wants you to do? He wants you to exceed your forefathers, the faith of your forefathers. not in recognition or in competition, but just to do something, to be a demonstration of the seed of the future, the seed of the will of the Father. No one you can remember, no one you've ever been introduced to, no one you know is going to do what you're about to do. And the reason for that is it doesn't take faith to believe you can do what someone else has done. But what pleases the Father is when you believe you can do something that no one else has. Not in competition, just in recognition of who Christ in you is. You're that people. I call you out by your name, the body of Christ, the planting of the Lord, kings and priests to your God and His Christ. You'll do it. And before you can realize that it's being done, you'll make a 360 and say, look and see what God has done. I'm not even sure how it all took place. I don't care if you're sitting home knitting, sewing, crocheting, if they even do that anymore. If you're washing your clothes, if you're downhearted, you're broken, you feel assaulted, you're about to make an assault on the speed of your own voice. You're going to exceed the sound of your own words. The past voices of those that hated and those that loved you, none of it matters. You're making an assault on every barrier that has disallowed you the advantage of the fullness of Christ that is within you. And there's going to be a boom, boom. Two booms. When Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier, and by the way, he climbed into that aircraft with no way out. There was no ejection system installed. It didn't exist. He climbed in a capsule shaped like a bullet, full on. Plane starts to shake. When your bones and your nerves start to shake, you just begin to balance the orientation of how you approach this barrier by saying, God is giving me wisdom and understanding. God is giving me the spirit to discern His kingdom, and His kingdom is beyond this. As he began to reach the speed of sound, and he approached that, if you will, part of him in the past and the nose in the future. Tail in the past and the nose in the future. As soon as the nose met the future, and he began to make the new sound. Not traveling in waves of sound from the past, but he began to make a new sound. He slipped through. And it's documented, it's recorded that his gauge, the gauge that told how fast he was going, just went boom. And he thought something was wrong with the gauge because it just popped from just under Mach 1 to a little over Mach 1. Bam! And he's thinking maybe something's wrong. And immediately everything smoothed out. He climbed into that ship with three broken ribs that day from a horse accident he had had the night prior. No excuses. Imagine climbing into a ship, doing something that's never been done. I'm not in my best shape. I just broke three ribs last night while riding a horse, and I'm getting in a ship I can't get out of. Now, that's faith. And he did it. So are you. You're in a space you can't get out of. There's no ejection seat. There's no ejection equipment for you to exit what you've entered into. And God says, what you're going to do is you're going to believe the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is going to take you beyond a barrier. And once you do, you're going to have a smooth sailing, and you're going to be such an influence to the nations that they're going to want to be a part of who you are and not just what you've done. How you reason, how you think, how you believe. And the word of the Lord will be fulfilled. You will receive power to bear witness to me, not just your forgiveness, Not your redemption, and that's all wonderful things. Where would we be without it? Not just that you can speak in tongues or pray for the sick or prophesy, but that you broke the barrier that says you can't go beyond this. You're only human. We're all sinners saved by grace. We are saved by grace, but you can't be both. You can't be a sinner and be saved by grace. You're one or the other. You were a sinner, all have sinned. Now we're saved by grace. He didn't remain in between the past and the future sound. He made the new sound. And when he did, it was boom, boom. They looked up and went, what just happened? And shortly after, they realized, just broke the sound barrier. You know what they said? It was no barrier at all. It was a barrier of understanding. Didn't believe it could be done. Once you hit a certain speed, you fall apart. You're only human. Religion is falling to its knees in this generation because God has chosen some of you that have a heart to believe and say, God, give me a discerning heart. Give me reasoning beyond reason. And God's going to make you such a witness that people will clamor. They will contend for a position to stand beside you and be a part of your faith. That's what God wants. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's who we are. That's what we're called to do. That's where we're going. And the king said, anyone that speaks against the God of these boys, off with their heads. That would rally a lot of people. But the influence of your faith, the spectrum, the dynamics that are new and fresh to you, and you're going to live longer. You're going to live happier. You're going to live stronger because the Lord has renewed your strength by the spirit of his reasoning. This is that day. And this is the greatest season of your lives. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Stand to your feet with me. Father, we're so thankful. We're so grateful for the hour of the Lord. We pull upon the heavens of our God. If you have your little wristbands, you can even tug on that today. Take a hold of it. We pull upon the heavens of God. As Jacob did, we grasp on to the blessing of the Lord. Jacob held on to God and said, I won't let go until you bless me. I know God liked that. All in all, God wants to enjoy you. He wants you to be an experience to him by his love in you, just like your children that you love. And when they come and embrace you, they are now an experience to you. They came from you. They came out of you. They came through you. But now they are one of the most joyful experiences you could fathom. That's who God has called you to be. There is such a depth in understanding the experience that we are to the Father and how it changes the demographics, the nations, the reasoning, the understanding, the world that you live in. So it's not the world that you came from. It's the world that you created by faith. And this is that season. No matter what the assault may seem to be on your life, on your finances, on your business, your ministry, your family, God is saying, I'm teaching you to reason wisely by my spirit. The serpent in the garden, God created him and put him there for one purpose, to teach man righteous reasoning. To take man beyond the simplicity or the complexity of how to get the best out of God. By realizing that it's by his word that I receive and that I act upon and become. Now I am the actions of the word of the Lord. How powerful is that? And in that consistency, your life becomes powerfully consistent. God has given you dominion today over your mind, your reasoning, not so you're wrestling, but so you go beyond what you consider to be a barrier and find out it was simply your reasoning. I have reasoned beyond the speed of sound. I have reasoned beyond my limitations. This is that day. I release the word of the Lord in its fullness to you today. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be given to you, that you may know him better, that you may know him more. And we pull upon the heavens of God. Tug on your wristband right here and say, I'm pulling on heaven. I'm drawing the kingdom of God's power, the kingdom of God's reasoning, the kingdom of God's discernment out of me. I'll receive the word of the Lord. Say it with me. I'll receive the word of the Lord. My spirit is quickened by it. I am made alive in it. And I'll walk in the fullness of all God has given me to do. And I will exceed all expectations. I will know what it means to experience the exceeding, abundant, and beyond all I know to ask or to reason. According to the power of God, his kingdom that is at work in me here and now. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the only Son of the one and only living God, I affirm, I believe, I pray. Everybody shout it. I want to shout in the house. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Shout to God, all you people.